You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen, amen. Well, have a seat. Good to see you. You in a good mood today? All right, all right. Well, we have something special for you today, but before we get to that, let me take you back, all right? Because most people of his era thought, most of them, if you ask him, that he was just another blue-collar worker with a Messiah complex. In this promised land that had a promised Messiah, there were a lot of them that came around and said, I'm the coming Messiah, I'm the coming Messiah, and ended up in disappointment. And they were thought, oh, here's another one, you know, some blue-collar worker that just thinks he's the Messiah, the promised Messiah, until the miracle started. When the miracle started, then, you know, things had to shift and people started fighting over him. Some said, look, see what he did? He's the Messiah. He's got to be the Messiah. Others folks said, no, he had power. Can't deny the miracle. But it was of Satan. It's of Beelzebub. And it reached a boiling point when the religious leaders got really involved. And then it all blew up when the Roman authorities had to get involved. And then they killed him. And that was that. You know, they killed him, and like all the rest of those blue-collar workers, Messiah wannabes that had been killed, you know, because they had a following and they were getting irritating. That's that. That takes care of that, except it didn't take care of that. Something different with this one, because he wouldn't stay killed, amen? And he didn't stay dead. Yeah, he had the audacity to blow up his own tomb and blew that 2-ton tombstone right off of the door, and he started changing the world as we knew it and know it through his people, through his children, and through us. We're starting a new series today. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is in the New Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, we have one of those blue Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. Take that out. It's page 1006, 1006, the book of Acts chapter 1. And that is our gift to you. Take that home, put your name in it, and then bring it back. And we're kicking off this brand new series this morning called The Church on Fire. The Church on Fire, what the church is supposed to be. And, and we have this coming your way next week. We usually have sermon notes, right, that we pass out at the door. We're going to try this for this series. This was Jessica's idea. So it has our little logo of the series on it, message notes. It has notes, places for message title, main scripture, key points, date, speaker, life application, prayer requests. Somebody should say, ooh, ooh, look at that. Yes, for a suggested, don't you like this, suggested donation of... That means, I guess, if you say, I don't want to give a donation, you can still have one, of $10. You're like, oh, $10. Now, here's the thing. Around Christmas, we always try to give our folks who serve in any capacity at Point Harbor a little gift. And so this year, folks, if you're serving in some capacity, you're going to get this El Fribo. Yay, say hallelujah. Yeah. Now you're like, that's not fair. Oh, shut up. I want one. We'll start serving. You start serving. By the way, if this is your church and you're not serving here, you ought to be serving. You start serving. You find a place of ministry this week, and I'll give you one free. All right? But you got to serve, not just put your name on a list. Okay? Like some of y'all do. And those will be out in the foyer, God willing, next week. Okay? Say, okay. All right. Are you there in Acts chapter 1? Say, I'm there. All right, now if you write in your Bible like I do, I'm going to tell you what I, you know, what I underline, what I circle. Helps me out. Acts chapter 1, we're just going to do the first 11 verses today. In the first book, all right, I underline in the first book, out to the margin, I put Luke, because that's what he's talking about. This is Luke, and he's a disciple. He's not an apostle, he's a disciple. And it's Dr. Luke. He was a doctor, by the way. And he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And that's what he's talking about. That's what he's referencing. In the first book, O Theophilus, I circle Theophilus. You'll find out in a week or so who he really is. He's writing this, really, account, the book of Acts, to one dude. It was shared to churches and to us, but it was really to one dude at first. So in this first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up. So this is all the Gospels. You know, I talked about everything Jesus did until he was taken up after he had given commands. I underline, he had given commands. All right, there are some very important commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself, this is Jesus, alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. I underline many proofs. People are like, man, you all just believe in pie in the sky. No, we have many proofs. Appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. I underline that, the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, circle the promise, of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I circled the Holy Spirit and write a line connecting the promise to the Holy Spirit, because that's what he's talking about, the promised Holy Spirit. So when they had come together, so the church assembles there, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're all into prophecy. Man, I want to know, is this the kingdom? Are you kicking it off? Are you going to be on the throne? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season the Father has fixed by his own authority. You ought to put a star next to that if you're someone who's like trying to, you know, set dates and stuff like that. You better be careful, because he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons when my kingdom is going to come. But, underline but, double underline, I did. You will receive power, I underlined this whole verse, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem, I circled Jerusalem, in all Judea, circled all Judea, Samaria, I circled Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, circled the ends of the earth. And then when he'd said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. It was like a slow rapture, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So he's going to heaven, he's ascending, but they're seeing it. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, because you would do the same thing, you're like, what? When they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men, these are what? Angels. Two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Like, well, didn't you see what happened? This Jesus, underline this Jesus, this one, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way, underline same way, in the way as you saw him go into heaven. So he went into heaven bodily. He's going to return what? Bodily, physically, yeah. So, now, this is the cool passage that really is going to be the highlight of the whole, I mean, the kind of the foundation of the whole series in the book of Acts. This is about the church on fire. The church is you know, the way the church is supposed to be. And if we're, you know, what we're supposed to be, then we'll do what we're supposed to do. There's a lot of churches that, you know, they aren't what they're supposed to be, so they're not doing what they're supposed to do, what God calls us to do. Verse 8 again, look at verse 8. But you will receive power. We receive what? Power. That's the Greek word dunamos, from which we get the word dynamite. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, what's that for? What's that power for, John? To give me, you know, healing and feeling and squealing? No. And you will be my witnesses. Here's the reason for the power. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Say Jerusalem. All right, Jerusalem's Hampton Roads to us. And in all Judea, what's Judea? Like Virginia, all right? Or even America by extension. And Samaria, all right? That's people who are close to you who you don't like. And to the ends of the earth. What does that mean? The ends of the earth, yeah. This is called what? The Great Commission. It's what we are to do. It's what we as a church are to do. If you get together and you have a whole bunch of meetings and you have a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of programs, like a lot of churches do, but you don't do this, you're not really being the church. You're not fulfilling the commission that Jesus said, hey, this is important enough for, these are my last words to you. This is what you're to be doing until I come back, right? Reaching the world for Christ. And you're like, well, what does that even, John, what does that even look like? That's cool and all, but, you know, I've heard the Great Commission, you know, this, that, and the other. A lot of people have ideas about what it is and isn't. What does it even look like? To give you a close-up, we have a special thing today. We brought our pastor, who is on our salary. He's paid, he's financed by your giving, totally. He's on our staff. And he's Jorge Salfran from Cuba. Jorge, come on up with Jose. Give him a hand. He pastors an El Sembrador church in Havana, Cuba, and he is, here, let me throw it down with you. Jorge es mi compadre. mi amigo, wow. Mi hermano. Sí, y mi hermano Jorge es muy inteligente. Sí, es muy grande. Sí, es muy fuerte. Es muy interesante.
Wow.
Yeah. So now this is mi amigo Jose, Pastor Jose. Pastor Jose is está bien. He's okay. No, Jose is an awesome. I mean, Jose was such an addition 13 years ago to our staff. He's done an amazing job. A lot of things behind the scenes you guys don't know about. But basically, El Sembrador is really because of Jose, God bringing Jose here. The churches we have in different countries because God just did an amazing thing. So give Jose a hand. All right, guys, have a seat. Take it away.
All right.
Thank you.
Our church is transitioning into a speaking in tongue church, because that's what Pastor John just did. I was amazed. Wow. I didn't know that. You know, it's maybe he took a special pill or something, you know, a Spanish pill. But it is a pleasure for me to be here sharing a time with my brother Jorge. I know Jorge from a long time, over 20-something years. We have traveled together, ministered together, and I have so many memories of being with Jorge. And one of the most fun memories was we used to travel throughout Cuba from one end of the island to the other, and I would rent a car so that we can visit the church. It would take us 2 or 3 days to do that. And now in Cuba, they had these humongous highways from one end of the island to the other. It's imagine 664, just like that, you know, 4 or 5 lanes, but empty. We would drive what it seemed to me for hours, and there were no cars. I found out later on, someone told me that they were designed so that airplanes could land in case of they needed. So they were kind of little virtual runways. So one day we're doing this, and I find out that Jorge never learned to drive. I mean, he just, you know, never learned to drive. So I said, Jorge, you're going to learn to drive now. So I pulled over and changed seats, and Jorge got, you know, the wheel, and we spent the greatest time just, you know, trying to, you know, keep it in straight, you know, line, you know, and just, he was giggling like a little girl. So it was kind of embarrassing, you know, a side that I didn't see about him before, but you remember that, don't you?
It's not the way.
No, that's the way I remember it. That's the way.
It's not true.
It is true. It is true. Totally true.
Okay, I forgive you.
Well, okay, thank you. Now, do you have a memory when you came here to the state the first time? A fond memory of you, your first visit here. Do you remember?
2000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I remember that we went to. Went to visit Minnesota for some mission festival, and in the church that invited us, they have the minister's gospel. That was the Minnesota Twin Chapel, and then he invited us to watch one game in the Minnesota stadium. And when we were there, sitting in the blinds, I start crying.
We have pictures of you being there, and look at that. That was, by the way, that was 2 years ago. We took those pictures. It was a very recent picture.
This is in Minnesota Stadium. You can see the trophy that they win in World Series. And I start crying because I know that I can play this level.
On that level?
Yes.
Now, Jorge, you cry a lot. Why is that? I mean, you're kind of a baby. I was really embarrassed there.
It's like that when you take the toys for kids, you have your boys or your son, and you take the toys. What the boys?
Okay, so they took your toys away, and that's why you were crying?
Well, because I know that I can play in this level. Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's, you know, crying, you know.
I was a baseball player.
Yeah. So you were, what when you were growing up, what is it that you wanted to be?
I want to be a great baseball player, because my dad was a baseball player too. And when I was a child, he told me to the baseball field to take practice with him. And they and grow up in this environment. And that's my thing. When I grow, I want to be a baseball player. And I get this dream. When I finish my high school, I go to college in Havana, and the college gives me the opportunity to play baseball. And yes,
You achieved elite level.
Yes.
By the way, you have a master. You went to college, got a degree, and then you got a master.
Yes, what's physical culture.
And what was your concentration?
In baseball.
Baseball. I don't know anybody who has a master in baseball. Jorge does. Truly. Really. A master in baseball. And what was your thesis? What was your paper that you submitted about?
The factors that lead the hitters go to a slump.
Okay, so the philosophy of the slump.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That,
why the hitter fall in the slump? We investigate that and have good results.
Okay, so you were a elite player. You got to the top levels. We found a video of you playing.
Medina acaba de empujar su carrera número 33. Lleva de 4-2 Orlando Arrojo. Hay uno por Ciudad de La Habana en cada almohadilla. Batazo largo para el right field. Profundo hacia atrás el right fielder.
El equipo de Industriales en turno para batear. En el principio del quinto batea Salfrán y con ustedes Podesta Agüero.
Batea Salfrán, le tira, saca un batazo largo al right center. La bola se va elevando y la bola se fue de home run.
Cuenta el pitcher. Le tira un batazo alto, largo, se va. Pone el juego 3-1, Jorge Salfrán. Honrón kilométrico.
Wow. Good memories.
You were a big deal in baseball.
Yes, I remember that. This last moment, I was a Christian.
Oh, you were a Christian there at that
moment? Yes,
okay.
I was a Christian.
Now I remember. I don't know if you remember, but when we first met, you gave me this. This is a shirt signed.
Wow. Wow.
Number 28.
Yes.
I've been wondering how much would I get on eBay for this. I just.
You are touching my feeling, man.
Yeah, yeah. So you achieve levels, highest level. You represented Cuba in different places throughout the world. You played
yes,
in
Netherlands, Colombia, Nicaragua, Mexico. Yeah.
Okay. Now, from there, how did you become a Christian?
Well, you know that was my dream. I realized that when I reached this level, I discovered that my teammate players practice witchcraft. Yeah, and I learned that when I was a child, because one of my uncle introduced me in this level, and I went very, very deep in this level because I use all this knowledge to protect myself and to damage my partner in the team.
So you're talking about that you use witchcraft, which
yeah.
is Santeria,
mm-hmm.
To protect yourself
mm-hmm.
and also to damage. Do harm to other teammates.
Yes, because I want to play every day and have good results. And I did bad things with this.
Now Jorge, is this stuff real? I mean, is the dark forces, is this real stuff?
Yes. The evil has power.
Evil, Satan has power.
But no more than God.
No more than God.
Yes. I remember that my wife had this witchcraft too, because she was sick and she tried to feel better doing that.
So in practicing witchcraft, what were some of the things that you did? What some of the things that you had to do?
Well, to worship idols, you need to offer the idol animal blood. Yes, like the Bible say, the Old Testament. We use different animals to do that.
Like animals like?
Roosters. Lamb. Goats. Yes. If you want more, do more deed and bad, you go to the cemetery and take bone from people dead.
So to do more harm, you would go to the cemetery and dig out bones of people?
Yes.
To do real bad things?
Yes. But, you know, in Cuba we play by levels. First level, second level, third level. And I was established in the second level. But since 2 years, I can't go to the next level. And I made a lot of sacrifice, but nothing happened. But my wife met Jesus. She told me, "Oh, Jorge, I received Jesus. All these idols that I have is not from God. I put all in the garbage. I am going to visit in the church." I said, "Well, you know, she was sick, and his problem was in the brain. She lost in the past. She lost the memory by time." I said, okay, you in your way, let me in my way. But something happened when the day by day, nothing happened. She started feeling better, having good behavior with our kids, doing the job in the house and finished on time to go to the church. And say, "Wow, something is going here. And say, I was thinking, and say, "Well, maybe the place where she are visiting right now, the God of this place is more power than the God that the idols." Huh. Because I know that when you are worshiping idols, you need to take this serious. Because when my uncle not take this worship serious and go to party, celebration, women drinking, the idol punish. Yeah.
So were you saying that when your uncle, you saw that when your uncle who was practicing witchcraft all the time, he didn't take the time to worship the idols the way that the idols want him to be worshipped. The idols would punish him.
Yes. But by the way, nothing happened. But she spent 40 days in fast for me.
40 days fasting for you?
Yes. She lost her weight.
She lost a lot of weight.
And when she finished, she gave me a book. She say me nothing about the gospel. Nothing. She only gave me a book. A New Testament for kids.
Yeah. She gave you a New Testament for kids?
Yes. This is the way that God spoke with me clear, because I love cartoons.
Because you love cartoons.
Yes, sir.
So she gave you a book with pictures.
Yes, I love cartoons.
You love cartoons.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Chartels. Okay.
Lion King.
The Lion King.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I love. And when I was in the crew house, you know, in the crew house.
When you are in the clubhouse.
Yeah, they are television, TV.
They have
I sit there and put the channel with cartoon. And nobody can touch the television.
Oh.
Because I was.
Because you're the elite guy, and whatever you wanted to watch, they had to watch.
Yes.
So everybody was watching cartoons.
Yes. But this is the way that God worried me. I just started reading this book. And I was a religious person. When I read this book, I feel peace, relaxed, comfortable. I said, wow, look at this. I feel good when I read that. I can play with peace in the game. And I read the book, read the book, read the book. And the finish, the season finished. And I said, well, is this book, the God of this book, is real? He let me go to the next level. And then 2 weeks later, one friend of mine came to my house and said, Jorge, you read the paper, you are in the next level. I said, wow. And I said, wow, I didn't any sacrifice. Any sacrifice. And I go to the next level. It's good. And then the season started, and I was in the bench. But the manager never put me in. Never. And I was in the bench, I have a great mental battles. Many thoughts come to my mind. Hey, you know, dude, we craft, you never play here. You need something to go and play. But the other thing say, no, the book I read say that I need love my neighbor, how myself. I can't do that.
So let me see if I understand. So you went to the next level, but they benched you. You're sitting
there
all season, and then you're having in your mind a mental battle. On one side is something's telling you, see, you need to do animal sacrifices to the idol, mm-hmm. otherwise you're not going to play it again.
Yeah.
But in the other, you will remember what you read in the Bible that says you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and I'm not going to harm my teammates.
And the season finished, and I only get 2-0. But 3 weeks later, the same friend of mine come to my house. Hey, you read the paper? No, what say? You are in the national team. You say, me? The national team? I did nothing. Yeah, you are in the national team. Because in Cuba, the baseball organization always made 3 teams to travel and play. I was in the third that played Mexico and Panama. I said, wow, God is real. Immediately I go to the church, baptized, and the next season was the best season that I had, over 400.
Wow.
All season.
Okay.
I lost the hitting.
You lost hitting?
I lost.
Oh, you lost the hitting,
The last AB.
The last at-bat.
At-bat, yes. The person that win, he 413.
413, and you?
412.
412. Okay. All right. So by this time, you are a Christian and you're following God. How did you end up being a pastor?
Well, I was playing baseball, visiting the church, growing spiritual. One day, the pastor called me. Hey, Jorge. We are praying that you come with us, work full time. I say, well, let's pray. And 1 month later, the pastor called me again. We decide that this is the time to join with us. I say, okay. Immediately, I finish my baseball career. And I start working the church, associate pastor, develop the discipleship in the church. But I remember about that time we started developing the sport ministry. The name was Baseball Christian League. Mm-hmm. I met you in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And then we agreed to develop this ministry. And we was developed this ministry for 15 years, 16 years.
15 years of baseball, ministry through baseball.
Yeah.
Over 10,000 people came to know Christ.
Yes, and most of them are leading church and minister the gospel. Yes. The pastor said to me, hey, you need to decide, pastor ministry or sport ministry. I pray, and at least I decide for the sport ministry. The Lord opened door in Dominican Republic. We went to Dominican Republic, developed a sport ministry too. The Lord opened door to work in Arizona, Diamond Bat House hitting coach. Yeah. And then being there, you visit Dominican Republic, we start having in touch again.
So how did you end up being the pastor of El Sembrador, Cuba?
Well, When Arizona Diamondbacks crossed my contract, I started working in one sport ministry. The name was Meeting God in Baseball. And in Meeting God in Baseball, we use a discipleship material, first principles. And at the same ways, we start study our doctoral program in Antioquia School. And then by that time, you and brother from here traveled to Dominican Republic on mission trip. Mm-hmm. And I remember that each year that you traveled to Dominican, for 4 years, you asking me, Jorge, we want to open a shoe in Cuba. But we know that the person to do that is you. You say, no, I say, no, it's not my calling. I am training leader, established believer. No, it's not my calling. The second year, the same question. The third, the fourth, no, Jose. But when the pandemic arrived and the pandemic was in the most high level, nobody can travel, nobody can do that, nothing. You call me in Cuba, to Cuba. Wow, Jose. Hey, what's up? How are you?
That's the way we talk. Hey, what's up? What's up? Hey.
He told me, hey, Jorge, I have 4 years asking you to be a pastor, to open a church in Cuba. But now it's not me that are asking you that. It's Pastor Young. We need open a church in Cuba. Well, you say, okay.
You were scared about Pastor John, weren't you?
He said, ¿cómo se dice? Un osito de peluche, teddy bear?
The what?
Un oso de peluche.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Teddy bear?
It's a bad joke. He doesn't work here. He doesn't translate. You can't translate that.
He's a nice person.
Yeah.
Yes, because I know that I go to Cuba.
Yeah.
And you'll be here.
Right. Exactly. I can't say that to him. I'm going to stay here. You leave. I'll have to give it. You can put me here. I'm not going to say that.
Then we started opening the church 2 years ago. Yeah. But the same way I'm continuing my doctoral program that helped me a lot to know how God want to lead his church to unfold his plans.
Now, so when you finish your doctoral program, Jorge, am I going to have to call you Dr. Selfran? Am I going to have to, because we know each other, we're friends. Do I have to call you Dr. Selfran?
Our brothers, no. But you, yes.
Oh. All right. Okay. Dr. Selfran, we have really worked together in many places, God has used us in baseball. We love baseball. We love what God has been doing through baseball, what it did in Cuba. We have, through the ministry, we reach a lot of people, but that was back then, right? God has shown us, you and I, a different stage now of our ministry. Mm-hmm. We both are passionate, still, but passionate about the Great Commission, discipleship, planting churches.
Yes.
Planting churches, and that is our passion today. And so in Acts, and Pastor John read that, in Acts 1:7-11, it says the following. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which in the Father has appointed by his own authority. Verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was taken up while they were looking, and a cloud received him and hid him from their sight. Then 10-11, and while they were looking intently at heaven as he ascended, it happened that two men stood before them in white garments, who said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way, just as you have seen him go to heaven. Amen. So, what do these verses, Jorge, mean to us now? And how does it reflect God's plan for us today?
We need to know that why we are here in the earth, what God wants to do through us. And through this verse, the Bible shows us clearly. First, the disciples in Jesus' time, they was witnesses. But now we are witnesses too for develop the God's plans. When we read this book, this passage, we can find the models. God plans models. Example, when you read verse 8-9.
Yeah, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
And then we are the witness for today. But if you see, that's happened in the past. For this moment, when Jesus and the disciples are living, that was present. But for now, for us now, it's past. It's past. But
the because the Holy Spirit came and we received the Holy Spirit.
Yes, they received. They received. For us, was in the past. But now, in the present, what are happening? The next verse says that Jesus was taken up before they very eyes. Where is Jesus right now?
You ask me?
Yes, sir.
He's not playing video games. The Bible says that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Doing what? Sending messages?
No, he's not playing. No, he is interceding for us.
Interceding for us. That is what Jesus are doing right now, the present. But the verse says something that is not happening yet. Could be happening in the future. And what they say, this same Jesus who has been taken for you into the heaven will come back. When? That is in the future. We need to work right now in the way that God called reach what he has in his mind from the same beginning. We can see the slide that we can explain much better that.
The Genesis?
Yes, sir.
Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, and the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And then, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So how could this happen?
When you read that, you found that Abraham was a wife, but not have any child. But God said, I made a great family, and throw you, I will be blessing all family in the air. But God start working to develop his plan. In the future, he used Abraham.
In the past.
In the past, pardon, he used Abraham, his family. He continued working. Can you see it? Can we see the slide?
The slide of the understanding.
Yes. You can see correctly three times, past, present, and future. What did God in the past using Abraham, his family, to develop this great nation? This nation learn how have relation with God. God used Moses to do that. Through Moses, God gave him the Ten Commandments, and all nations around the Israel could see that the God that Israel worshipped was the real God. The real God. God was developed his plan because God need reach how bless all nations through Israel. Moses passed away, and then the history continue, and we can found David. When David was a king, what David want? He want to build a temple for God. But God say, no, you know, your son will be doing that. But for you descendant, I will bring one king that his kingdom never end. This verse are point to Jesus, because the history continue, and then Jesus come and preach the gospel, the good news. And before he left, he say, go and make disciples. That we are right now in the present. What is the instrument that God has to continue to develop his plan? In the past, he used Abraham, Moses, David, Samuel. But now, what is the instrument that God has to reach his plan to the future? We need to read
Ephesians 3:10.
To see what is the instrument that God has to develop to reach his plan. What to say?
On Ephesians 3:10 says the following. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms.
Now, through the church. Jesus is in the heaven, intercession for us. But we are the person that God wants to use to develop his plan. The church. The church is the instrument that God wants to use.
Okay, so how is that plan, and what is our part in that plan?
Well, what Jesus said before he go to the heaven, go and make disciples. The disciples obeyed and start doing disciples. And when the disciple, what, you know, we need to be clear what disciples mean.
So disciples.
Disciples
what? Okay.
Mean.
Okay.
We found two important aspects. A disciple is a follower and a learning. No matter how many years we are how Christian. No. Until the last day that we be here in the air, we are a follower, we are learning.
So what you're talking about is a disciple, being a disciple is two aspects.
Yes.
The first one is when you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, at that moment you receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then you decide, well, I'm going to identify with Christ. I'm going to put the T-shirt. I'm a Christian. That is one. I become a follower.
Yes.
And then what you're saying is that then the next part is I am going to become a student.
Yes.
And that, how long does that take?
All your life.
All life. Okay.
Yes, because right. Jesus said, teach to obey. Why Jesus said, teach to obey? When we study Israel history, what we found through the line of the history, we can found footprint.
The footprints.
Of disobedience.
So disobedience.
Yes. Israel was disobedient. Disobedient. And he received in his life the result of this disobedience. Yeah. But Jesus right now before go to the heaven say to these disciples, teach to obey. And then we need to learn how obey. And he said, go. And I need to go. I need to go preach the gospel and reach people for his kingdom in the way that I study, renewing my mind, develop our biblical thinking, and living the kind of life that show my life, the window of God to the heavens.
Okay.
Because the church is a family of family.
Now, Jorge, how can we make disciples in Cuba?
Well, the same strategy that the early church developed, the same strategy that Point Harbor are developed too. We right now are working in our church, preaching the gospel, establishing believers, and multiplied the church. We are working, our main goals in the process is the discipleship or the establishing process. We on the we during the we are studying first principle with people in their house, and then we have our gathering on Sunday. That's it.
Okay. It seems to me that we need people like Jorge Salfranz in other countries to do the discipleship, because we couldn't, you know, we didn't know, we wouldn't know your people and what their needs are.
If we see the model that we found in Acts, could we see this slide?
The understanding the Great Commission, the cycle?
Yes. We can see that the disciple preached the gospel, planted new churches, established believers and leaders, and appoint elders to guide, lead the church. When they be ready to appoint elder, the elder is from the same place, indigenous elders, is not from other country too, because this elder know the characteristics, know the context. Then that is the reason that, yes, we need to be part or born in this country, how you say. Yes, it's us that need to develop this work. We can receive help for other shores, but the right person to do that is the person that is part of this country.
So part of the plan of is that we partner with a indigenous person that knows the culture, that has a passion, a calling to minister to that.
That is the model that we found in the New Testament. It's not something that, no, it's, that is what we found in that book. We see in the New Testament models, the church start in Jerusalem and finish in Rome. But it's important the Holy Spirit, leadership work, the church work, and proclaim the gospel. I know that Point Harbor are doing that. Are doing that because right now, Point Harbor has a network. Cuba, Nicaragua, Peru. Develop the same model that the New Testament showed us. But we need involve 100%. 100%. The church need to be involved in this process. It's not only come to the church on Sunday. We need to do more to develop God's plan to the future.
So what you're saying is that in the church, they are not benches. You cannot be, you know, there is always a position for you to play. There are no places for you to sit on bench.
Yes, yes, yes. We are the instrument that God are using right now. How I spend the day that I am living now until the last day of my life. The most better way is living to move the God plan forward.
Okay. Now, Jorge, just to you know, to come to a closing here. Paul is talking to the Ephesians on chapter 1, 18 to 20, and he says that you need to know the hope of your calling. He's telling to them that you need to know the riches of the glory of your inheritance. He also tells them that you need to know the extraordinary greatness of his power for you to believe. So, as we apply this to us, we need to know the hope of our calling. What is the hope, Jorge?
Paul went to the Ephesians church, be clear. We need to know that.
The hope of our calling.
Yes, what is the hope of my calling? I know what God wants to do through me. I know what is the hope of my calling. I know that God wants to establish believer, preach the gospel, open new churches. That is my calling. And for that, I have two things to develop my calling. Here are things, herencia, heresies.
Say it again.
I have two things to develop my color.
Right.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And the second is
your inheritance.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I need resources.
Yep.
I need resources to develop my calling. And how many churches God has in the world?
Many.
Many? No, you are.
Oh, growing. One. I'm sorry.
You are one.
Only
one church.
One. Yes. One
only
church.
One church.
Yep. One church.
That is the reason that we need work together.
Yep.
To develop the God plan, because you live in a rich country, and you have a lot of resources to help the church in Latin America develop this plan. For us, it was impossible to do what we are doing right now without the help, how Point Sure are helping us to develop this plan. I would like to encourage our brother here to be part of the God plan in the way that God could reach what he wants to do in the future.
And lastly, what is the power that we have? Because he says in here, we need to know the extraordinary greatness of his power for us. What is that?
The Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I know lead you along. I will be sending. I promise, we have the Holy Spirit. We are not alone. We have this power to develop God's plan.
Amen.
But God put resources in our hands, and we need to charge these resources in the way that we can help other people to develop their ministry in their context.
In the context.
Ministries. Yes.
Okay. Brother Jorge, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's a pleasure to a privilege to talk to you, minister together, partner together, shoulder to shoulder, doing what you're doing in Cuba, and we're doing our part from here. We love you. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Could you pray for us?
Father, we want to give you thanks for this great opportunity. Thank you for use our life to reach your plan in the future. Lord, we learn through your word that is the church, that instruments that you are using today is not Moses, is not Abraham, is not David. We are the people that you are using today, Lord. Thank you for that. Help us to do what you want with your Holy Spirit to help. Here we are, Lord. Use our life in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother.